On this episode of the Autumn Windbags, we chat with Sports Illustrated's Connor Orr about his article on John Gruden's last 3 years with the Raiders and if he would fire him if he was the owner. Now, we recorded that interview earlier in the day in the middle of the Raiders' free agency madness. We were a little down at the time. Then we recorded the rest of the show at night when everything went great for the Raiders. So you will notice a giant difference in our happiness level between the interview and when we did the rest of the show. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Nirvana CBD at nirvanacbd.com. Use promo code AW20 for 20% off. Nirvana CBD, find your state of natural relaxation. And we love that you subscribe, rate, and comment on whatever platform you are listening on. All right, here we go.
I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. The Raiders!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto. Yeah, baby, another edition of the Autumn Windbags. Boy, oh boy, has it gone crazy in free agency.
Roller coaster.
Wednesday night, the 17th. We're assuming that free agency is basically more or less kind of done for the night. We may actually get reports as we record this evening, so God only knows what's going to happen as we go. It's weird, like St. Patrick's Day, it's nighttime. I'm almost dead. I don't want to say completely sober, but pretty close to dead sober. I'm really growing up. I'm getting old.
Yeah, you know, it's wow. I never thought I'm not a big drinker anymore anyway, but I would drink today normally. This and Cinco de Mayo would get my drink on, but I don't know, man.
Just tradition, because every St. Patrick's Day, the wife and I, we go to a Mexican restaurant, and then every Cinco de Mayo, we go to an Irish pub, because we're just trying to dodge the crowds. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have to be at a pub at St. Patrick's Day. We don't have to be at a Mexican restaurant on Cinco de Mayo. As long as we're somewhere drinking, I'm happy. So we had our margaritas and fajitas on St. Patrick's Day.
I like Mexican food and beer, and I like, you know, corned beef hash and potatoes and beer.
Luckily, it was more or less happy drinking. So free agency started on Monday, and I was damn near ready to drive my truck over a bridge on Tuesday when we got news. We'll tell you what each news is. Monday was a good day. We got a great free agent defensive end. And then Tuesday was a terrible day. We lost somebody. And then Wednesday, the Raiders just went completely bonkers and signed everyone.
Everything.
So we're going to get into all of that. But first, we want to talk to Connor Orr. He's a writer for SI.com, regular on Sports Illustrated. And this morning, I was just going through my feed, and I saw his article questioning whether John Gruden is the coach of the future for the Raiders. What's his role? What's his plan? And so I said, I want to know more about what's going on. So I said, hey, come on and talk to us. And he did. So here he is from Sports Illustrated's Connor Orr. All right, joining us now from Sports Illustrated's Connor Orr. You can catch him on Twitter at Connor Orr, doing a ton of good feature writing for SI.com on all things NFL. And of course, with free agency fully underway here on a Wednesday, we'll be airing on a Thursday. Things are changing by the second, but one thing that's been pretty consistent is John Gruden never really finding his footing. And so this morning, Connor, when I, you know, woke up, flipped open the phone, started going through stuff, and I saw the headline, what exactly is John Gruden's plan for the Raiders? I thought you were talking to me, and I didn't have an answer, Connor.
Yeah. I've been vocally critical of the hire since day one, and I understand that I've developed a bit of a reputation as a Gruden naysayer, and I will counter that by saying that I did write some nice things about him at the beginning of this year. I did think that, or last season, where I did think we saw some of the schematic talent coming out for the first time, probably during his tenure in Oakland and Las Vegas. And I was like, okay, this is the guy that they hired. This is the guy that's been cooped up in the film room and all the feature stories that we've heard about. This is the product of that. But since then, it's just been really destructive managerial decisions. You know, he tore down a good roster that was in place, tried to rebuild it, and is now in the process of tearing down that rebuild, which I guess is something that you can do when you have a 10-year contract. But any other coach at this point with that record would have been fired. And I would argue that they would have been fired before last season too. I mean, if you look at the lifespan of these coaches right now, so it's an interesting place to be.
Yeah. I mean, I think the, you know, the friendship that Mark Davis has with John Gruden plays obviously a huge part in it. I mean, that's basically why he became $100 million coach, was for that reason. And I think the big thing too was, you know, he got hired the year before they moved to Vegas, new stadium, new market, let's open up, let's be big, let's be sexy. Like, the billboards in Vegas weren't Derek Carr, Rodney Hudson. It was of John Gruden. So he was kind of like, the motivation was a celebrity hire. I'm not quite as down on him as you are, Connor. I think, you know, what he's been able to get out of a beat up offensive line, Derek Carr's gotten better every season. You know, finding Darren Waller, I think offensively he's made some moves that he should get credit for. But it just feels like he was brought in as like the celebrity hire, as opposed to, all right, who's the best guy that's going to run this franchise? Cause he got the entire keys to the kingdom, you know, right? Like Mike Mayock's GM, cause that's what his name tag says, but Gruden makes all those decisions. And so it just feels like, yeah, you hired a celebrity to take this job that may or may not have the skills.
This to me was the problem with the entire hiring process. And I think it's instructive for the rest of the league if you start to think about it, because one of my major gripes with the Gruden hire was that it made a mockery of the Rooney Rule, right? Mark Yes. Davis came out and said, I've wanted to make this hire for 2 years. So you're admitting that you did not consider the two minority candidates that you interviewed and that you set up a sham interview process. And so I think, but that aside,
the Rooney Rule's been kind of like that for like most people though too.
For sure, right? But the Rooney Rule is set up for people like Mark Davis who walk into these decisions with their mind made up. And if you go to like Rooney himself or Tony Dungy, who's been sort of this liaison for the Rooney Rule in the last few years, the point is to make you stop and think and make sure that you're making the right decision and to listen to people with an open mind and say, huh, you know, maybe I'm wrong about this. This is where Mike Tomlin came from. The Steelers weren't going to hire Mike Tomlin and they brought him in anyway, and he blew them away. And he's one of the three or four best coaches in the NFL. And I think that when that happened, Mark Davis was just so infatuated with Gruden that you just jump into bed without really considering how this is going to all work. And I mean, yeah, there are worse teams, there are worse situations right now, but certainly going into year four without a single playoff berth and really nothing that you can say is a hallmark of Raider football outside of Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs, and some of those guys are good, but I don't know if that's worth $100 million to me for or even close to that.
Yeah, you got to wonder, like, if Gruden is worth $10 million a year, what's Belichick worth? Like $50 million a year? Like, it was a weird hire. And again, it all just comes back to like, Mark just like loves John. And like, that's, you know, part of it. It also goes to just leverage in general. Like, if you were going to get John Gruden away from basically working one day a week for ESPN and making almost the same money to, you know, you ask any beat writers for the Raiders, like, his car's there at 6 a.m. and his car's there at 8 p.m. Like, for all his faults, he's putting the time in. You know, like, to be able to drag someone out of coaching from TV, you're going to have to overpay. And I think, as you know, we're seeing like all these, you know, ex quarterbacks and coaches and their broadcasting paydays get higher and higher and higher. Like, that's probably the thing that's going to be driving coach pay up higher than more than anything. It's just, that's who you're competing with now, is major networks who are paying billions and billions of dollars for this product.
Yeah. And it's interesting, right? It's like, you know, we've heard forever that the Raiders are a team that can't afford certain things, that can't, you know, do things like teams normally do them. And yet you have a fully guaranteed $100 million contract that's going to be basically impossible to get out of, you know, without a gigantic buyout. And so it's just interesting. It like juxtaposes oddly with what you would typically think about the Raiders, right? They're a team that's kind of in a perpetual cost saving mode a little bit. And so, but Gruden is their one major expenditure. And if that's the case, and you believe that much in him, that's fine. But you can't go 4 years without getting anything out of that, you know? And I think that's what's really, you know, and you know, there are diehard Gruden people out there. There are people that tell me I'm wrong at every step of the way. And maybe I am. And I'm willing to be wrong because he's such an electric person that if that team is good, that is so good for the NFL. And it is so good for us. Like I would love that. I would love if the Raiders were good. But if not, like, I feel like you're just kind of, you know, sticking a pin in something that's already deflating, you know? And I think that that's going to be hard for people to realize. Like, if you go 4 years without making the playoffs now, if you're almost halfway into the contract with no playoffs, what do you say? Where do you point the fingers and who's to blame at that point?
Yeah, it's always better the league when the bad guys are good, you know? It makes it more fun. We had Marcus Mosher on last week, and he kind of echoed some of our sentiments saying that Gruden is an excellent coach and a terrible talent evaluator. What do you feel is the dynamic in that front office with Mayock and now Gus Bradley in there?
Yeah. So before he got the job, I talked to a bunch of people who played for him in Tampa at the end of his tenure there. And I think that they all echoed very similar things to what we're seeing now. He's impatient. He doesn't like developing young talent. He's very quick to swap out people for veterans that he knows are good or veterans that he's seen on tape that's flashed to him. You know, when he had Jeff Garcia and he had them rolling in the playoffs, it was the first thing he did. He tried to go after Brett Favre. When he had Chris Sims, and that was the highest rookie quarterback that he'd ever tried to develop, what did he do? He pivoted to somebody else. He had, you know, all these veterans in the quarterback room trying to get to somebody else. And, you know, I think that's really the problem is, I don't think that there's any time for that trust to develop. You know, you don't go in there thinking, okay, this guy's going to take care of me and I'm going to be a better player. It's okay. You know, if I'm a tight end and I'm not good, you know, he's going to find a 38-year-old guy to just sign off the street to replace me because he likes him better. And I think that that's a problem. You know, John is a really flashy guy. He sees, you know, veteran talent, already developed talent. And unlike Bill Belichick, I think he has a trouble putting the puzzle pieces together like that. Mm-hmm. Like you can run a good franchise that way, but not if you don't put it all together the right way.
Yeah, it's funny you brought up tight end because they have an amazing tight end in Darren Waller. And they still signed a 900-year-old Jason Witten to come in at tight end. It's like $3 million to be a team leader. Like, what?
Well, they had a great backup too. I mean, Foster Moreau, he had like five, the year before they signed Witten, he had five red zone touchdowns. Like, he was no slouch as a backup tight end.
He's an above average tight end playing backup to Waller, and they still signed Jason Witten
and gave him all the snaps.
Yeah. It's nuts. So it's like when I think of like, all right, what's John Gruden's like strengths and weaknesses, right? Like, I think he runs a pretty good offense. I think he's a pretty decent play caller. But it's like you mentioned, the problem is he's just a terrible talent evaluator. Like it goes back to me. Like, it's the curse of Rich Gannon. Like, in 1999, he picked up Rich Gannon, who was in his mid-30s, made him an NFL MVP, right? Went to the Super, you know, like, went to the Super Bowl the year after, you know, John Gruden left. But, like, he just made John, like, Rich Gannon just became phenomenal. And he's just been trying to replicate that ever since. It's like, think of the quarterbacks that he has brought in. Thank God Derek Carr was here before John Gruden was. Like, think of the quarterbacks he's brought in. Nathan Peterman, who nobody wants. He traded for A.J. McCarron, who's terrible. Give Marcus Mariota like the highest paid backup, a contract that's so big they can't even trade him now. It's like, he's supposed to be the quarterback whisperer, and the only quarterback he's got is the one that he didn't pick up.
Yeah, there's no evidence to bear out him being a quarterback whisperer. Like, I love that some people can have that title and sort of manifest it into existence, but there's just no evidence that he's a quarterback whisperer, and there never has been. And I think what's interesting is, like, you know, and I pointed out in the column yesterday was, you have, you know, maybe you like PFF, maybe you don't, you know, he grades out as a top 10 to 12 quarterback almost every year, Football Outsiders, all these other places. Like, he's good enough. He's Jimmy Garoppolo in 2019. He's good enough to get you to the Super Bowl, and he's crazy affordable. He's making no money compared to the rest of the quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Why aren't you striking? Like, this is the time to go. This is the time to win. And, I'm just surprised, I guess, at how it's working out. I mean, I would figure that at some point you're able to put the pieces together here. But if you really are that quarterback whisperer, let's maximize Derek Carr. Let's make him better. And he's played better. But, you know, I don't know. I just don't see how this is all working in conjunction with one another. There's no synergy, you know.
What do you think, if you had to look in from the outside, what do you think is his short-term plan and a long, I mean, I don't see a long-term plan, but what do you see the roster building? Is it a money thing with the Raiders? Is that why, you know, some of these questionable cuts, what do you see the issue?
Well, I think what you're hearing now, right, is that, oh, well, the offensive line wasn't as good as everybody's saying anyway. And so, you know, you have to start fresh at the position, and that's fine. But what's your argument then? You know, you got rid of Khalil Mack to get these young talented players in there. And so what are you going to do with a great wide receiver and a great running back when you have nobody blocking for them, you know? And, you know, is Derek Carr going to regress? Absolutely. You know, I think that any quarterback, you know, just ask his brother, how hard is it to play in front of a non-existent offensive line? John Gruden couldn't build a top 10 unit with the most expensive offensive line in football. What makes you think he's going to be able to do it overnight in the draft and on the back end of free agency? I'm just not that optimistic about how that goes. So what does the long-term plan look like? I really don't know. Like, you know, is he signing more guys like Yannick Ngakoue, who, you know, he can find a little bit of a market inefficiency and plug and play these veterans? That's fine. But like, you're no different than the Raiders from 2005 to 2000, you know, however long before Reggie McKenzie got there. You're just, you know, kind of just scraping the bottom of the barrel and hoping that you find something that works.
Yeah, the offensive line situation's still, like, you know, as of right now, like Wednesday afternoon, like, it's all moving. Like, Rodney Hudson, he was supposed to be cut, now we're told he could be traded. You know, Denzel Good is got re-signed. We don't know what's going on with, you know, Richie Incognito. Senior, he's like, it's all kind of in flux. It could pan out to be pretty decent if they keep Incognito. Obviously, Colton Miller still at left tackle. The backup center that's backup Rodney Hudson, Andre Jones, is the staff has been very, very high in him. So it right now, I'm with you. It looks like you're just like gutting this great line that was supposed to be the anchor of your football team. It could end up all right. But the biggest problem, obviously, with the Raiders has been the defense. Like, the offense has been doing great. Run game, pass game, other than red zones, you know, it's been a great offense. If the plan is to scrape $30 million off the line and throw it into a pass rush, I could see it. But again, it goes back to your point. Like, you develop this line for a reason. And then the second it kind of gets a little shady for you, you're like, all right, start over.
Yeah, which is why, you know, I think it just goes back to him being very reactionary. You know, mm-hmm. He's a reactionary coach, and he always has been. You know, look at, you know, they were at some point involved in discussions for Tom Brady, you know, and tried to dip their toe in the water there. Like, I just don't think that there's a thing that can pass by his point of view that doesn't grab his attention, and he tries to hold on to it. And, you know, if you have a bad year with the offensive line, that's another thing. It's like, okay, well, you know, then let's just throw it all out the window. And you're right. Maybe it's not as bad as we think it is, but even if it's as good as we think it is, you're still depending on like a 37-year-old Richie Incognito to have, you know, another plus season and not get injured. And, you know, maybe that's possible. Offensive linemen are playing later into their careers, but, you know, this isn't set up to be sustainable. And you can win now by holding on to these guys, but they're not holding on to these guys. And so I just don't know. Like, people are coming and going at a rate that, to your earlier question, like, I don't know what that means for the long-term plan. A lot of teams, you can see the long-term plan coming into fruition, but this everything seems to complicate it, you know, the further we get into it.
Well, that's the most frustrating thing, I think, for RJ and myself doing this show. It's like, we're just kind of like sit along for the ride. Okay, what's going to happen today? I mean, in one sense, it's good. We have a lot of stuff to talk about, but we can't really build a lot of continuity in our shows because it's like, well, we don't even know what's going on. I have a three free agent ask, two in the secondary, one on the offensive line, and then one ask as far as a first round pick. So if you had two free agent signings in the secondary, actually three free agent signings that you want for the Raiders and a first round pick, what do you feel is going to be the most bang for their buck?
Oof, that's a good question.
Put him on the spot there, Juan.
You know,
Potsy, right away.
And
right away, we've been here 20 minutes.
And just as we're talking, Rodney Hudson just got traded to the Cardinals. So there you go. They ended up not cutting him. So
there it is. Let me get back. Did you say what we got for him?
I don't Raiders, see anything yet. So
Mike Garofalo was the tweet you saw, right?
Yeah.
So swap of draft picks. Okay.
So my free agent guys have to be in the secondary.
No, any three free agents. I mean, I have a couple. My couple of mine are in the secondary.
Okay. So if I'm looking at what's left, I mean, I think that you get Jadeveon Clowney because, you know, people come in and expect the, you know, the South Carolina play against Michigan every time. And that's the player that we've come to expect, but like, he's a great run defender. Like, he's an excellent top five run defender every year. And so you get that guy, you hold that edge, you know, and, you know, I like a guy like him. I like a guy like Alden Smith who can do the same thing. They can make you functional against the run basically overnight without a ton of investment, you know? And if I were to pick another guy, I mean, you're going to need something to open up the, you know, you're going to need,
it's kind of like a best safety available type of thing. I feel like the DBs are so young, right? It's like,
you know, yeah,
second year player, third year player. Jonathan Abram's basically a second year player because he was hurt his entire rookie season.
You spend the money on Anthony Harris. I mean,
yeah, is there a reason why he's still out there? Is it the money? He wants too much money.
I mean, I think he's, you know, I think there are still some guys that are holding out for, you know, that position finally got to a place of, you know, where there was a premium on it. And I think some of those guys are holding out for that money. And we'll see what happens. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a couple guys try to linger until like July and try to get that money and wait for an injury or, you know, some sort of maybe draft. And some of those guys might hit it big, but I don't think it'll be that long on Anthony Harris. I think he'll go at some point. He's a great player.
Yeah. What do you make of just kind of like, so the problem with the Raiders is like, we've had guys play in the Raiders, let them go, and they play great somewhere else. We get these expensive free agents, Corey Littleton, Carl Nassib, like we get these great defensive, you know, for, you know, Trayvon Mullen. And it's like, they fall apart here. Is there something like in the water in Vegas? Is it cultural? Like, is this going John Gruden? Like, what do you make of this? Like just swinging and missing constantly and just players just can't thrive there.
Well, look at Cleveland, right? It took somebody to come in and to basically tell the owner to get out of the building and say like, I'm going to take all the rugs outside and we're going to sweep all the dust out. Like, we really have to look at the way that we do things from a business perspective. And the Browns, like, give them credit. I mean, you know, Andrew Berry and the guys that are there now, literally after everything they do, they send out a survey to the entire staff and they take it back and they incorporate what everybody wants to do. The players are involved in all this. Like, everybody touches this and they feel welcome and they feel like they're all part of this. And I just think that LA or Las Vegas, Oakland, you know, they've never had that, that real unifier as a coach or as a general manager to come in and say like, you know, yeah, we're the Raiders and everybody's kind of obsessed with that idea, but let's clean that out. Like, let's start over from day one and let's actually put together like a functional plan here. How are we going to get better? You know, what are the steps to getting there? And I just don't think that they've ever given themselves the chance to do that. Gruden theoretically was the guy to do that, right? You give him a 10-year contract and you would think that there was an incremental plan, but in year four, like we've said, I don't think that that's on tap just yet.
I mean, at least Al Davis had his like conciliaries.
Yeah.
A group of people. It's like, now it's just Mark Davis sitting down like, all right, John, do whatever you want to do. And I mean,
I bet you there's a couple PF Chang servers that he gets a lot of advice from Mark and
he John. Loves that PF Chang.
In all fairness, you know, sometimes it's TGI Friday, sometimes it's PF Chang's, but you know, he's
listening. But it's always in the van, the conversion van.
Yes, exactly. So if you're, you know, obviously if you're not Mark Davis, but if you are an NFL owner and this has been what John Gruden's done with your franchise, right? Not gone to the playoffs in three seasons, but technically has improved each season, right? 4-12, 7-9, 8-8, developed Derek Carr, found Darren Waller. You know, there's plenty of bad. There's some good sprinkled in there as well. Is he already fired if you're an owner? Are you saying, hey, next season you got to prove it? Or are you believing what's happening? Like, obviously you're not believing what's happening, but like, what if you're the owner, what are you doing?
It's an interesting question. I would say that if I'm a patient person, which I'm not by nature, I would say, you know, here's the rest of the money that we have. Like, do what you're going to do. Let's plan on this being a 1-year contract, essentially. and give the Chiefs your best shot. Like, you know, okay. Let's see if you can make, you know, let's see if you can make inroads in this division since you have gotten better every year. You know, this is it. Like, you know, playoffs are bust. You know, I need you to take one out of two from the Chiefs. Like, I need you to be like you, and he has, you know, that's not something he hasn't done before, but you know, I need you to be legitimate right now. And we need to be, you know, in the wild card and performing well enough, you know, to stay and to come back. And, you know, just thinking of that in mind, like, I just think he's gotten an incredible opportunity. I mean, look at Anthony Lynn. He developed Justin Herbert and the guy didn't have a single day of practice as a starting quarterback, turn him into the offensive rookie of the year. And then yeah. He gets fired. You know, there are a lot of coaches that show developmental promise and don't get the chance to come back, you know? And so here he is for year four, but I mean, let's be real. I mean, we're in this for the long haul, you know, and Raider fans loved it at the beginning. I think the majority of them, and I'm not sure that this is going to be as fun of a game, you know, after year four, year five, year six, if they're still not, you know, reaching the postseason.
Check out his fantastic work on SI.com. You can follow him on Twitter as well at Connor Orr, two R's, O-R-R. Connor, this was great. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Connor.
Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much, Connor. Appreciate it. So let's get into the nitty gritty. Tons of signings today.
Yep.
Bad news yesterday, Tuesday. Good news Monday. And so in order to organize this all according to how I rate Soto and IR, we're starting with the worst possible scenarios, not scenarios, but like the worst, like signings, releases, the ones that got away, and then ending
transactions.
Yeah. Transactions or pending transactions. That's kind of where we're at. So we're going to start with the worst ones, end with the good ones. And just looking over this list, Soto, like, this is a very un-Raiders free agency so far.
Big time.
Very un-Raiders. Like,
no reaches.
Like, yeah, no reaches. Like, only one big splash signing, and it was exactly what we need at the position we exactly needed with the exact right
and
guy.
And a great contract, too.
Great contract. We haven't just thrown stupid money around.
Yep.
And there's a ton of signings where I'm just like, okay, like, that's zero risk. Like, this could turn out great. And if it ends out terrible, it's like, well, we already have depth there. We're barely paying this guy. It's like a zero risk situation. So we have a lot to be thankful for in the fact that, like, the cap dropping for the first time in like a decade because of COVID kind of came at the perfect time for the Raiders, because we were in the process of just like gutting our super most expensive line in football history, yeah. Gutting it, using that money. And so all these other players are like, all right, we're not getting a lot of money elsewhere. You know, let me just take this like 1 year prove it deal or this cheaper deal.
Because yeah, then when the cap, is. Yeah, the cap goes up next year, they'll sign a long-term deal for more money than the next year. So you're going to see those shorter contracts this year.
And the Raiders aren't done. Free agency is, you know, just like 72 hours old. We still have the draft next month. We still have plenty of cap space left.
Yeah, we still got plenty of money.
So, I mean, we're happy today. Next week's Autumn Windbag, we may even actually do, you know, some specific YouTube videos on any like big signings or releases or something like that throughout the week before the next podcast. But we could have a very, very different demeanor next week. But for this week, pretty good.
Not bad.
Like I.
It's getting better. Yesterday was bad.
Yeah. Yesterday was bad. So let's start why yesterday was so bad. I was driving. So again, we're going from the transactions we hate the most to the transactions we love the most. First one, you can kind of guess what it is. I'm driving home from boxing and I'm just kind of like scrolling through Twitter at the stoplight. And I see reports Rodney Hudson will be released from the Raiders. And I thought, what? Like, I'm going to drive my truck over this bridge embankment. Like, I can't. What? He's the best player on the team. He's been the best player on the team for years, never gets hurt, never has problems off the field, never has a problem in the locker room. He makes everyone around him better. Yeah, he's highly paid. He's, you know, in his 30s now, but worth every dime, and it does everything great. I'm like, what is possibly happening? I was losing it yesterday, Soto.
I didn't understand the reasoning behind the move, because I didn't hear anything in the media all season long. I didn't hear anything in the off season. I didn't hear anything, but HUD was just a strong leader, someone who was well-respected on the team. I didn't hear any grumblings. Did a little bit of research after we had talked, and, you know, there's some rumors, grumblings that the Raiders are short on cash, and he was Hudson was due, what's it, 3.5, something like that, in a roster bonus. So word is that he was asked to either rescind that or make it some kind of some other kind of payment that doesn't have to be, you know, cash up front. And he pretty much scoffed at it and just said he wanted out. And then I hear from you that you hear that's bullshit. And, you know, so who knows what the truth is? Again, with the Raiders, you never know.
Yeah, so again, I'm hearing the same rumblings you are. I'm also hearing rumblings that that's all BS, and it's just the, you know, there's so much misinformation put out there during free agency to kind of sway negotiations. Like, when there's big money on the line, information is like is gold. And not even just like true information, but anything that sways the narrative, that sways what people think is happening. Like, that's gold. Like, that could be worth so much. Like, again, I come from the UFC world, and like, when you can always tell when Dana White's negotiating with Conor McGregor, because he says like, oh, he doesn't want to fight, he doesn't want to be here, and he's like pretends he doesn't need him, right? Because they're going to the negotiation table, and the more desperate you sound, the more you have to pay.
Yeah.
So who knows exactly the situation? I guess it's believable that Rodney Hudson was just like, look, I'm sick of losing. I only have a few years left. I'm a badass. Get me in a situation where I can win. Give me a change of address or something. Fresh start and see what happens. So we thought yesterday that he was just going to be cut. That was what was leaked, I'm presuming, by his agent. And I'm like, we can't even get a trade for him.
That's why I didn't really. That's the part that was like really eating at me. We couldn't get anything back for the guy. Are you kidding me? He's like one of the top 1-2 centers in the league for years now.
Yep.
And you can't get anything back.
Durable, good teammate, makes everyone else better. It's like everything you want in your football team. As it turns out, he's not being cut. He's being traded to the Cardinals. We're giving up Hudson and a 7th rounder, and we're getting a 3rd rounder. So we're getting something for it. But a 3rd rounder, Soto, for the arguably the best center in the league?
Look, man. Okay. That's pretty good. A 3rd round pick, you're not going to get a 2nd or 1st round pick for a fucking center. I don't care how good you are. It just, you're not going to get it. It's just not going to happen. So I don't mind the deal. We get some. I would rather keep him, but a 3rd round pick, okay.
It might have been the Raiders that released it, because like now we're like, when we thought we were just getting cut, we're like, oh, this is worst case scenario. Oh, we're getting a 3rd rounder. Okay. That's a little better than what we thought. So it's like, we thought we were getting a shit sandwich. Instead, we were just getting an old moldy, been sitting out in the sun for a couple hours, turkey sandwich. So like, all right, that's better than the shit
sandwich. I wouldn't call a 3rd round pick a sitting out
Rodney Hudson, for the best player on our team.
He didn't want to be here, man.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be here. So
still hurts.
It does hurt. It does hurt. Don't get me wrong. But
I felt like my dog died yesterday. Like that's the emotion.
Yeah, it was bad. I felt bad.
This felt like before we found out that we were trading for him, this felt like when we lost Khalil Mack. I was just like, oh.
Yeah, and we got like two firsts and a 2nd for Khalil Mack or something.
But that's what took the pain away. It was like that one I understood. Like, even though it hurt to lose Mack, I was like, okay. We need the cap space. We need those 1st rounders. I get it. Like it's like putting down your dog. You're like, all right, he's in a better place. I had to do it, but the emotions still hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Yesterday with Rodney, I was like, someone just ran over my dog.
Yeah, it's like your dog getting hit or something.
Yeah, yeah. This is all for nothing. But like the good news is, and we're definitely gonna get into how the offensive line got completely moved around, but should still be in pretty good shape. Andre James has been his backup for 2 seasons, and Tom Cable and the coaching staff apparently love him. They think he's great. They think he's ready to start. He's, you know, one of the better centers in the league, and he's only making $1.7 million next season.
A fraction of what
Rodney Hudson was supposed to make, 11.7. So you're getting, even if he's half the center Rodney Hudson is, you're saving $10 million on your center.
I trust Tom Cable, man. Tom Cable's a good coach. Look what happened to Seattle's line when he left there and came down. They just went to shit out there. And I don't know, man. If he says it, I trust him. If he says that that James has got the stuff, that he has the juice, then we have to roll with it and see. But I mean, I don't know that they would make that deal if they didn't feel supremely confident that Andre James can make it happen. So that's some optimism moving forward.
If I'm Kyler Murray, the quarterback in Arizona, I'm doing backflips in the hallway. I'm like, oh, this guy's gonna block for me. He's gonna call my blocking schemes to make everyone better. He's gonna be one of those leaders by example. Like, oh god, he's the guy that's gonna do great. I don't think some of the other Raiders that we lost are in good situations, but Rodney Hudson hurt. That's why he's the number one, why we started with him, because he hurts the most losing him. He will do great in Arizona, and he's definitely a guy that, like, I am silver and black way before individual players. Just like players come and go, but I've been Raider fans forever. I will always be a Rodney Hudson fan. Like,
yeah, man, he
could sign with the Chiefs and then go to the Broncos and then go to the Chargers. I'm still gonna be like, Rod, like, you gave us everything for 7 years. Like, okay,
thick old dick.
Yeah,
if you want to put money on a team to make a huge improvement next year, it's going to be the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Rodney Hudson makes a quarterback's job so much easier. He doesn't have to worry about the interior line calls. Hud's going to take care of all that stuff. He's going to shift the line. He's going to shift the protection. He sees everything already. He has a quarterback's mentality. He sees the defense. He knows what's going on.
Yep.
It's going to make it a lot easier for Kyler Murray. I'd kiss that GM in the filthy whore mouth of his if I was Kyler Murray.
So that's Rod, starting out with him. C'est la vie. We're going to miss you. Vaya con Dios.
So how do you feel? How did it make you feel? You said like your dog died, right?
Yeah. Once I found out that, like, he didn't want to be there and we got a third rounder, it felt like having to put your dog down as opposed to having him just needlessly go. It's like, all right, if he wants to be gone, what can you do? Like, we don't want to – imagine a disgruntled Rodney Hudson in the Raiders locker room. Like, a guy that everybody respects.
Respects and listens to. Yeah, it'd be bad.
Like, so when Adam Hill was on our show, he was talking about how, like, when Rod opens his mouth, everyone shuts up
and listens,
gets to attention. Like, he's the general in the army and listens to what he says. Like, if he's like pissed off, fuck this team, this sucks, I'm holding out, like, that will just send terrible ripple effects throughout the whole locker room. So
yeah, if he didn't want to be there. So I went from like zipping up your nuts, like something about Mary, all the way up. But now when we got something, it's just kind of like nicking your ball shaving.
Okay. Drastic difference.
Sucks, but it's like, all right, well, you know.
And you have to shave your balls. So it's like, okay, sometimes you get a nick when it's happening. I get it. Okay. And that leads us to the second worst transaction in this case.
Balls.
A non-transaction. We were all stoked when we heard that Howie Long's son, Kyle Long, who was retired last season, was coming back, and he was and he literally visited the Raiders facility yesterday.
Yeah, he was there all day
doing a workout, and I love, like, it was pretty brilliant by his manager or his agent, who's like, all right, we're gonna start in Vegas and visit the Raiders, and then we're gonna go visit the Chiefs. So hey, you better make us a deal that we can't say no to, otherwise we're gonna go to your rival next. Mm-hmm. Brilliant by his agent,
who also has a need, by the way, so it's not like an empty threat.
Yep. And at first glance, it seemed like things went well. He didn't leave immediately to go to Kansas City.
He was there for a while. Yeah.
He was there overnight. We're like, oh wow, is he like finding places to live? Is he like picking out curtains for his new spot? Is he picking out which locker he wants? Yeah,
the crap table or something.
Which buffet by the stadium am I going to go to after games? Like, I thought that's what I was thinking. As it turns out, he went to the Chiefs, signed with them, and I can't help but think that, again, this Rodney Hudson situation double fucked us, because literally Kyle Long was working out for the coaching staff in Las Vegas when news that Rodney Hudson was bouncing came out. Yeah. So if I'm Kyle Long, I'm like, oh, I get to play next to the Rod. Like, oh, great. This is gonna be great. Nope. He's gone. And it looks like a fiasco is happening in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Some evil genius in his underground lair, like buried under a volcano, was planning to fuck over the Raiders yesterday, and it worked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he ended up signing for what, a 1 year, $5 million with the Chiefs?
Worth up to $5 million. Yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna play. We cut incognito for making that much money. Mm. We were gonna give him that much money.
Well, so, again, and it's 1 year up to. So I don't have the specifics on what's guaranteed. So it could be, so if it's a very incentive laden deal, you know, like 1.5 guaranteed, and you can make more if you stay healthy, you know, or whatever it may be. It makes sense. Cause remember, he's coming out of retirement. So, you know, it would have been really like, obviously he was great. 3-time pro bowler with the Bears. Obviously the last name would have been great. He was just sold a buttload of jerseys, you know?
I still think we got the better long.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Better hair and everything.
But he's gone. This one sucked,
but it was like, for me, it was like stubbing your toe. Not a big deal. Sucks, but you know, we never had him, so what the fuck?
So I'm going to share a behind the scenes true story.
Ooh.
Kyle Long slid into my DMs last year.
Hello.
So this is right after he retired. And for those who don't know, I host a SiriusXM radio show, and I used to host one with AJ Hawk. Last year, AJ Hawk and I were used to host a radio show together. And he was listening to the show, and I'd never talked to him before, never interviewed him before. Unless he listens to my show all the time, and I didn't know about it. I assumed he didn't know who I was, but he slid into my DMs. This is January 9th of 2020 at 11:30 at night. So he slid into my DMs late night, right?
Damn.
He says, and this is right after he retired. This is literally the week he retired. And I was talking about retirement on my show. And he said, unless you have your mind made up that you will demolish your opponent, you should retire. And he said, and he quoted that, and he said, listen to your quote of yours, and I probably butchered it there, but I was struck by this. I retired last week because of this. You don't know me, I don't know you, but you put into words an explanation I've been trying to give for 6 days. And we just kind of had like a back and forth on that. So this is a guy that, again, already retired because he felt like he couldn't give his all anymore. And he felt like he wasn't trying to just like murder the dude in front of him. Like, you need to have that mentality in combat sports and with football and contact sports. Like, if I'm lining up at guard, I want this defensive tackle to die. I want to eviscerate this man by any means necessary. And if I'm telling myself, do I really need to do this? I don't want to do this anymore. I've made money. I'm comfortable. You start losing your edge, and maybe it's time to retire.
Yeah.
So if that's still the case, if his mentality is still there, I know it's kind of sounding like, you know, like I hit on a chick and she said no to me. So I'm just like, oh, she was probably a lesbian anyway. I know it sounds like that, but I'm telling myself, we might have dodged a bullet if he's still kind of feeling like he's a retired football player.
The line is different, man. The line you can't make business decisions if you're a lineman.
Mm.
Like, you just got to go out and get it done. You got to go out and do it. And you can't just look at playing football as a job if you're a lineman.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work. You have to be a savage, because they get beat up and they're expected to beat people up every single freaking play. So we'll see. Maybe he just really missed it and he had it in him. He had the fire in him.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it works out. Same thing happened with Richie Incognito. He retired for a year, came back with us, and came back strong. But I mean, we'll see, man. Again, we never had him, so whatever. I'm not too worried about him. Go make your money somewhere else, and we'll see you a couple times a year.
So yeah, this is the one where it kind of felt like I was hitting on a girl and she said no to me, but I pretended like I said no to her. That's kind of what Kyle Long feels like.
Hey, you want to dance? No. Oh, I know. I said you look fat in those pants.
You've been practicing that one, I can tell, Soto. All right, on to the next one. So this one kind of sucked, but I think we're going to end up all right. We're only really Kyle Long and Rodney Hudson are like, damn, this one really sucks. The rest of these, I'm kind of like, this ain't a bad situation.
Does so I've been Kyle a long time. Really suck though? It's like, okay, you don't even know what he has.
I just wanted to wear another long jersey. You know what I mean?
Just wear the Howie long jersey.
Might as well, right? Worry
about this guy.
Why get juniors when you can wear the legit one? Why have the counterfeit? So Nelson Aguilar, you've heard, you know, commented so many times on this show, like, hey, we got him for cheap. When something's working in Vegas, you keep it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we've just been swinging and missing on draft picks. We've been swinging and missing on high price free agents. Nelson Aguilar worked. It worked great. He was a leader. Him and Derek Carr had great synergy. And I thought we could keep him for cheap because the wide receiver market was so inflated. Tons of free agents. Depending on which mock draft you're looking at, it can be 6, 7, 8 wide receivers going in the first round. So if you need a receiver, you could probably get one for cheap. So I thought maybe we can keep him. We found out Nelson Aguilar will sign with the Patriots. The Patriots went, dude, Bill Belichick must be great. Dude, Bill Belichick must be great at a strip club because he's just been throwing cash around willy-nilly for 3 days. He's giving Nelson Aguilar, a guy who was on basically the veteran minimum last year, 2 years, $26 million dollars to catch passes from Cam Newton.
Fucking nuts. That is,
we weren't going to pay that.
Hell no. I said at the high end, I said we could give him 6-7 at the high end. Mm-hmm. They're giving him double that.
Dude, nope. Nelson Aguilar owes Derek Carr a fruit basket for that $26 million.
Derek Waller, Carr Ruggs, Carr, he owes all those guys something because he resurrected his career in Vegas. And 2 years, $26 million, good on him, man. But
congratulations.
Yeah, we're not going to get – we weren't going to get anywhere near yet. They're that, so have fun.
Yeah, and he's just like a one-year guy, so it doesn't – and he was like a one-year guy on a team that didn't go to the playoffs. So he's not one of those guys where I feel like once you're a Raider for life, but it's like, okay, we kind of rented you. We made you better. Like it wasn't even like a lease to own. It was just kind of like, all right, well, we need a number one. You know, Antonio Brown lost his mind. Our drafted receivers are still developing and or hurt. We'll use you. Like you'll be fine for this season. Okay, go get your money somewhere else. So Christopher Harris posted on Twitter Monday a video. It said, Patriots, this is your – because he's the number one receiver in New England now. Patriots, this is your number one receiver. And it was just a 30-second video of Aguilar dropping passes last season. Just everywhere. Just like off his fingertips, deep balls, under routes, stops. Like just all over the place. Derek Carr just dropping perfect dimes and Aguilar dropping them. And then someone else came back and said, and sort of video of him catching great passes, right? Because he did 8-9 touchdown passes for us.
Yep.
Something like 18 yards per catch, right? So he was productive. My biggest takeaway from all this, Derek Carr is accurate AF.
Yes.
Both these videos is Aguilar just getting perfect balls thrown exactly where they need to go and either fumbling it and dropping it or scoring a touchdown.
Yeah, it's Cam is not that.
No.
Cam is definitely not that. So good luck to him, man. You got your money.
That's what he wanted. He chose money over a quarterback that's going to make him look good. Okay.
All right.
I'd probably do the same thing.
Look, it's not a long deal. When Carl Cochran was on the show from Raider Films, if you haven't already, give him a follow on YouTube.
Yep.
He's really good. I told him, look, I think if I'm Aguilar, I'm signing a one-year deal for next season because the cap's going to go up next year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to have nearly the free agent pool of wide receivers. You're in a system with a quarterback that you trust that's going to be good. It's going to make you look good. Now, he's not going to get – I mean, God bless him, but he's not going to get anything more near this after his stint with Cam and the Patriots because – Cam just he's not accurate.
And you can prove you weren't a one-hit wonder with the Raiders that one season, right? Go back to back seasons, being the number one receiver, you know, having Darren Waller take some of the heat off of you, have a good run game, take some of the heat off you, Derek Carr just dropping you dimes. And you say, hey, look, back to back seasons, you know, it wasn't a fluke. I'm legit. And no, he went, you know, and again, can't blame him. He went and got his money first. Okay. But it's going to be very fun to watch how Cam Newton figures out how to underthrow all these great new weapons he has. Two new tight ends, a new number one wide receiver. Belichick just slinging money around like MC Hammer in his prime. You know what I mean?
Oh, just taking care of the whole hood.
And Cam's just going to underthrow all of them. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. Aguilar, I don't wish you ill, but I don't care if you succeed. I really don't.
Look, you got your money. You saw how fickle the NFL can be. You dropped your way out of Philly. Mm-hmm. Now you got your money. Go ahead, man. Do your thing. I'm not going to begrudge you for doing that.
This next one I want to go to real quickly. Devontae Booker. He was our backup running back. And we needed a semi-decent one with the beating that Josh Jacobs takes. I would have loved to keep him. He actually ran for more yards per carry, almost a full yard per carry more than Josh Jacobs did this last season. He's going to the Giants. Again, we weren't going to pay him what he's getting. 2 years, $6 million. If it's incentive laden, maybe would have made sense, right? Like if Jacobs out for like 10 games or something and he becomes like the new number one, okay, be worth it. So if it's that kind of contract, maybe we would have matched it. But if it's anything more than that, we weren't going to do it. And I also don't understand, when you have Saquon Barkley, why are you spending that much money on a backup running back? This is a weird one.
I think they saw what he's capable of with us last year. Saquon coming off the ACL, you don't know what you're going to have. Maybe they're trying to ease him back in, because he was a workhorse, man. He was like their leading receiver. He was their leading rusher. He was their, like, you know,
he's their entire offense.
He was their leading salesperson for programs. He was doing it all. He sold the most peanuts in the venue. Exactly. He's not going to do that. Not right away, at least. This first year, I believe they wanted to get somebody who can be a good complimentary back, which Booker was for us. He was a good complimentary back.
Very good. Very good backup.
Some people, you know, suggested that he maybe should have had a little bigger role and saved Jacobs a little bit more. But he has the ability. He showed the ability to do so. When he needed to, in long stretches of a game, he showed the ability to perform like a one. And the offense didn't take a step back when he was on the field. So, I mean, it makes sense when you take into account Barkley's coming off an ACL.
This next one was basically Rodney Hudson, but light. Gabe Jackson getting traded to the Seahawks for a fifth rounder. He was due $9 million each of the next 2 years. So a couple million dollars less than Rodney. Two spots further down on the draft. But again, we're saving $18 million. And as we get further down, these next guards that we have lined up for us, probably about as good, or not, you know, not quite as good as Gabe Jackson, not as young as Gabe Jackson, but for the value, way better deal.
Yeah, you're saving what is it, 12 million?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it's a no-brainer, and you're getting a fifth back. That's about right. Gabe Jackson's a decent, yep. he's a solid starting guard. I wouldn't say he's a Pro Bowler or anything like that, but he's a solid guard. He's gonna average. Play well. He's right there. You know, he's right there. So a fifth rounder, I'm good with it. If you're getting a third rounder for Hudson, which I think was completely fair. A fifth rounder for Jackson, I'm good with too. We're stocking these picks. Hopefully we find some guys, some young guys to slot some of these spots and not have to worry about free agency all the time.
I wonder if Gabe Jackson and Rodney Hudson have the same agent, because this is the exact same playbook with Rodney Hudson. Rumor leaked that he was getting cut, and then we find out he's getting traded basically just to save money. And they got basically the same value in, like, congruence to how good they are and the money. Like, it's exactly the same thing, just deals. Like the light version of it.
Look, it's a good deal all the way around. Mm-hmm. The teams get the player they want. The Raiders get the cap space and the asset, the draft pick asset. So yeah. It's a win-win for each side. We'll see what the Raiders do with it, with their third round pick. You're not going to get a Rodney Hudson right away, but you can get a guy who, you know, can grow into that role depending on, you know, what position they go with.
Yeah. Someone's got loose lips in that facility in Las Vegas.
You know
what,
man? It sounds like it's Vegas doing it on purpose, because it sounds like the same thing over and over again. Oh,
but,
yeah.
But it's killing their leverage. If they're saying we were going to cut him anyway, so teams are like, all right, we're not going to give you the, like, great picks for him. You're going to cut him anyway. Like, destroys Raiders leverage.
I didn't say it was smart. It just probably going to be them.
All right. This is where it starts getting interesting. So this is where we start. Like, this is where you're like, okay, these next few players aren't splashy, probably won't make a drastic impact, but they add depth, and there's basically zero risk with these ones. Next one, Quentin Jefferson.
I like this pick. I like this pick up a lot.
1 year, $4 million. Spent some time with the Bills. Also played on the Seahawks back when Gus Bradley was a defensive coordinator with them. So there's the familiarity there. And just 1 year, $4 million to have, you know, a defensive tackle that went to the same college as our number one favorite guy that we'll get to at the end of the show. You know, again, roll the dice. You're betting nothing, but it's like playing Keno. Like, for $2, you might get nothing, or you might get a great deal.
I'm so high on Quentin Jefferson. I'm kind of bummed we didn't get him for 2 years.
You're that high on him?
I like him a lot. I like him a lot as a player. He did a nice job for the Bills when he was there. He was a rotational guy there, but the Bills always have a ton of defensive linemen, and there was no drop off on a very stout Bills defense. So I like the signing a lot. So I'm looking for big things from him. When I saw that, we have a friend that's a big Bills fan, and we actually talked about him specifically a few weeks ago, and he was saying how he's a good rotational guy, and he's probably going to walk because he's going to want too much money. Well, apparently he didn't want that much money.
Yeah,
because we didn't sign up for all that much. But I mean, I'm really hopeful about this.
This is a prove it deal for him. So we'll see what he can prove in Las Vegas, and one of two Bills players that we picked up, which we'll get to later on the show. So another defensive tackle.
Little teaser,
right? Just tickling the balls a little bit. Next one, another defensive tackle, similar deal, 1 year, $5 million. Defensive tackle, Solomon Thomas. It was a free agent, and now we've got him. Remember, he was the number three overall draft pick in 2017. Never really delivered to that number. So you've heard me say it all the time, like, players are so held hostage, for good or for bad, to wherever they're drafted. Like, Clay Ferrell will never, ever reach the heights that we hope for him to because he was fourth overall. I think that's why Solomon Thomas was considered kind of a bust, because he hasn't delivered on being the third overall. But he's shown flashes. Like, he's shown flashes of a pretty good player.
He's shown six flashes. He's got six sacks in 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, he's more of a run stopper at this
point. Yeah, he's not a 3-4 D end. He's not that. He's not that. He's more suited for the 3 technique and a 4-3. So, yeah, I think it's a good pickup for them. Again, another solid rotational guy. Mm-hmm. Guy knows how to play. I mean, I hate to say this, like, a high caliber, high quality guy, high character guy. I don't give a shit.
A grinder? Would you go so far as to say he's a Gruden grinder?
I'm not going
to
call him that. He's not a player. He's not a baller, as you said.
Yeah.
But he's a solid guy. You need those guys.
He's coming off of a torn ACL in week two. So again, like, if he bounces back and plays great, wonderful. Only, we got him for cheap, and we'll use him. If he completely flames out, we didn't spend that much on him. All right.
Yeah. Worth the shot.
Next one, the Raiders kept Zay Jones, which is like, okay. He's re-signed again. Another former Bills player. This isn't even the one I was talking about. And he regressed this last season, been on the Raiders as well. He regressed this season, but he's fine as like a fifth receiver, as a number five receiver, which with the lineup that we'll complete here. And maybe even the Raiders pick up like another wide receiver one, as they're available. There's cap space for us, and that's the beauty of our wide receiver core as it is, in keeping Zay Jones, is we can win with this core. Like, and you add in Darren Waller, Josh Jacobs catching passes out of the backfield, the other free agent that we're going to be talking about here in a second. We can win with this squad at receivers, but it also still leaves it where we're not spending so much money where we're like, okay, we can't afford two of these crazy guys.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. It's a roster filler. You need to have these guys. Is he ever going to be a breakout guy? It doesn't look like it. He had the drops. He's with the Bills. Didn't drop too many passes with us. He seemed to make some really nice tech catches. When he was on the field, he caught a couple of touchdowns last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, you need these guys. A guy gets nicked up. You want to run a four wide set. Guy got nicked up. Hey, jump in there, Zay. He's going to be able to do the job.
Yeah, and he works. And again, Gruden's got a complicated system. He knows how it works. Like, both of our draft picks from wide receiver draft picks from last season both got hurt and missed varying amounts of time. So like you need proven
open
depth.
You got open,
caught passes.
You caught passes. Right? Okay. And as a fifth receiver, if you catch two touchdowns and you're the number five receiver on your team, what else do you want?
Yep. Another defensive tackle. We're keeping him. Jonathan Hankins back with the Raiders. 1 year deal. 1 year up to $3.5 million. So not guaranteed. That's pennies for a really, really stout run stopper. Dude,
I was shocked.
This is the benefit. Like, how I keep talking about how Gus Bradley, he's going to be lauded as like the best defensive coordinator ever, because the defense can't be worse next season than it was last season. He gets to take all the credit because he's, trying to pick up Paul Gunther's mess. this is the beauty of being on a terrible defense. You look at a you're like, I don't want a defensive tackle from the Raiders. They got no pressure. Defense was terrible. He was a stout run stopper. Like he was a legit stud against the run, but because he played on such a crappy defense, everyone thinks he sucks. So we got him for cheap.
And I told Carl Cochran, I told him I think he's gonna walk because he's gonna want too much money. Mm-hmm. And I wholeheartedly believe that because I know how well he was against the run, how well he played against the run, and to get in for 3.5, that's pretty good.
That's great, dude. And that's not 3.5 guaranteed. That's no, 3.5. That's up to 3.5 million. So this is amazing. Like our run defense is going to be good. Our run defense, especially on the front on our defensive line, is going to be, I think, above average. If our linebackers can just kind of get to where we think they should be, and we'll get to another linebacker here in a second, but like if they can just sort of deliver on average what we're expecting from the linebacking core run stop wise, our defensive line is like Clay Farrell, like he's underwhelmed as far as pressure, great against the run. Hankins, great against the run. Yeah. I mean, it's gonna be tough to run against these boys.
I'm cautiously optimistic about our defensive line now. We got a couple, one or two defensive signings left to talk about, and a couple of offensive signings. But I think it's the defense is starting to round out. We still, have some holes that we'll talk about later. But let's go on to the next one.
So offensive line. This time yesterday, we thought it was going to be a fiasco. It's coming back together. Denzel Good. Mr. Do Everything on our line last year, guard, tackle, again, selling peanuts, selling brochures, wrapping people's ankles, whatever he needed him to do, he was going to do. And I like this, a 2-year deal worth good up deal. To $8.3 million, only $3.19 million guaranteed. So, and he's a guy that can play anywhere, especially when we're still trying to figure out exactly what our line's going to look like. Overachieved. Dude, he started 14 games. He's like technically not the starter. He started 14 games last season. He started more games on the line than most of the offensive linemen starters. So like he did it. He's beautiful. Just
Hudson started more. And who else started more?
Hudson and left tackle.
Okay.
Both started more. But that's it. I mean, Incognito only played 2 games. Trent Brown played half the games or less.
Less. I think he
less than half the games.
5 games.
And he played well. He played really well. And again, compared to what like Gabe Jackson was getting, let's say he plays guard, he's getting paid a third as much for a player that's
played just as good.
I would say just as good.
Yeah.
All right. Like now that. Things get really fun. We got 4 left. And this is where it's just all smiley faces. This is more than just like
happy, happy.
Like the first two, Rodney and Long is like sad face. Since then, it's been like, okay, economics makes sense, depth, continuity, good deal. Either like you were too expensive, we don't need you. All right, you fit the role that you need. Now it's getting fun. Veteran wide receiver John Brown played for the Bills, had better numbers throughout his career than Nelson Agholor, right? His last season, it wasn't great because I think he had like COVID, hamstring injury. So the worst thing that can happen in a contract year is those things happen to you. But the Raiders take that risk. 1 year, $3.7 million only for veteran John Brown, number one wide receiver John Brown.
Off year, he still has 70 grabs.
Yep.
He still caught 70 balls. He still caught 20 plus more balls than Agholor did, and we're praising how well Agholor played. And this guy on an offense that had some weapons still was able to catch 70 balls.
Love
for
this one.
For 3.75, yep. That's a steal, man. I don't know what the heck we drugged him or something.
I think this is kind of like, I think he's hoping that like what the Raiders and Derek Carr did for Nelson Agholor, they can do for John Brown.
Hey, it's a good sell, man. Look, we have Waller, and we have Ruggs. We just need a guy like you who can take the top off a little bit because the safety's gone on the other side, who can run good routes, get open, because we got guys that are on the other side, over the middle. If you can get open.
And we needed a veteran, right? Yeah, like I didn't want to draft the receiver because we have all young receivers, right? Henry Ruggs, second year player, Brian Edwards, second year player, like Hunter Renfro's like the veteran and he's a third year player, right? So you got 2 second year players and a third year player as basically the core of your wide receivers. All right, let's get a veteran. You know, I was happy with like a wide receiver too, but like good locker room guy, like maybe he's lost a step, but hey, we can find a good role for him. Nope. Prime dude, takes the top off the offense, super cheap, can teach the young guys. This is great. This is fantastic. Again, our wide receiver core, Brown, Ruggs, Edwards, Renfro,
Jones,
just kind of like rounding things off. We could win with that squad easy, especially if Ruggs and Edwards take the big step forwards that we're all kind of hoping and thinking they will.
Well, you throw in Waller and Moreau in there too as pass catchers. There's a lot of weapons on the field. There's a lot of guys on the field who could make plays. So it's a good signing. I like it. I like it a lot. And for the money, oof. John Brown's like, man, I should have gone to the Patriots. What would they have given me?
Again, like this is the theme. I can't believe how little we're spending for the quality we're getting.
These last few are. It's a good one.
We got three more. And it's line, linebacker, and defensive line. So, again, with the offensive line, we thought, all right, we're losing Richie Incognito. He's going to get cut. Maybe the Raiders bring him back. That was always kind of the hope, right? Yeah. Like, you know,
you don't know for sure.
Yeah. Like he's what, 37, only played 2 games last season. Was it Achilles? It's pretty hard to come back from. So it's like, we're not going to give you $5-6 million. Sorry, Richie. We love you. And again, he was a guy that we picked up like basically out of retirement and became almost a Pro Bowl level 2 seasons ago.
Yep.
Great locker room guy. Guys love him. And we thought, this one like hurt more because it was like, all right, we're trading Trent Brown, losing Rodney Hudson, losing good. Like we're losing all these guys and we're losing Richie. Imagine my joy, Soto. When he tweeted this afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, this video.
I'm not fucking leaving.
Hey. Love it.
Wolf of Wall Street, Richie Incognito. It's a 10 minute like highlight package of his blocking that opens up with the Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not fucking leaving. I'm not fucking leaving. He's getting 1 year. Up to $2.6 million, only $1.1 million guaranteed. So, again,
that's so sweet.
If he gets hurt and, you know, in the second game of the season and we lose him for the season, c'est la vie, no harm, no foul, we're barely paying you. If he plays anything like he played 2 seasons ago, biggest steal of the free agency.
This is when we were talking about who to let go about maybe three podcasts ago. This was the guy I pegged. I said, look. 5 is too much for him, for his age, coming off of injury. If we can bring him back for around 3, that'll work.
Yeah.
And it's exactly what we did, a little under 3 if he works out. But your boy knows a little something over here. That's all I got to say. It's a great deal for everyone involved because no one was going to give him 5, including the Raiders, coming off of an injury. At his age, but he still has the juice. He still has it. This guy is a tough son of a bitch. What I was saying before Long signed with the Chiefs, if we have Long and Incognito at our guards, those are two nasty motherfuckers at guard.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Good ain't no bitch, so I'm not saying that. But this guy, he's a nasty, nasty dude. And if we can get him to play for 2.6, that's a steal, man. That's an even bigger steal than John Brown.
We're stoked if we pay him 2.6 because that means he played all 16 games, played well. You know what I mean? Like this is, and again, stopgap. He's what, 37, 38?
37, going to be 38, yeah.
Going to be 38, you know. But again, continuity with so much shuffling going on our offensive line. So many young guys and free agents coming in. Good locker room, dude. And again, the Raiders had him over a barrel because he bought a house in Las Vegas, wanted to retire there, didn't want to play anywhere else. So it's like, it was kind of take what we give you and, you know, right out into the sunset with us.
And it was fair. It was fair. Yeah. It wasn't like the, it wasn't like
that being, age, that injury. Yeah, he's not getting shafted. He's not getting shafted, but you know. So this is this is my third favorite free agent move.
Great deal
of today. Beautiful deal.
Great deal.
And I just love Richie. It's just good to have him back. Like, it was a feel good story.
You need a guy with his temperament on the line. Mm-hmm. You need a guy like that. You don't need all these nice guys. You need a guy with that has that mentality.
Yeah.
And he definitely brings it.
So I was torn between what do we do? Like, who was the, we know who the best move was, and we'll get to that in a second, but I was torn between what's the second and third best. Like, do we go with Richie Incognito as the second best or this guy's second best? I went with Richie number three only because, again, they're still rolling the dice, injured, old, stopgap. Like, okay, this, you know,
I'm going to call the man old.
Haggard old man, right? He's got gray pubes, guaranteed.
Richie, it was RJ Clifford.
But this next one is awesome. Super underappreciated player. Nobody knew this until like the end of the season because it just snuck up. He was the most consistent player on our defense.
He blossomed
this year. He blossomed. He's a guy that has struggled to start his entire season. Finally did start for the Raiders for long stretches as one of the three linebackers. Nicholas Morrow back.
Welcome back, sir. Welcome back.
1 year deal. It was, you know, a 1 year deal worth up to $5 million, $4.5 million guaranteed. So generous. But for a starting linebacker who is our best coverage linebacker and with all those great tight ends that he has to cover, that's awesome. He's not a liability anywhere. He can rush the quarterback. He can recover sacks. He can cause fumbles. He's fast. He's got a chip on his shoulder the size of Texas. This is my second favorite transaction for the Raiders. And again, I'm hoping this stays under the radar. I hope people don't recognize how good Nicholas Morrow is, because again, 1 year deal. I want to keep him for a while. If our other two linebackers, Littleton and Gwadowski, can get up to par, hopefully with Gus Bradley, they can show the flashes that they did in their other on their other teams. We've got a very good linebacking core, which I can't remember the last time I said that about the Raiders.
Yep,
this is beautiful.
Look. This, all these signings, all these short signings, all these short deals, they all hinge on Bradley turning things around right now.
Yeah.
That's what it all hinges on. If it takes a while for Bradley to get his footing and get these guys gelling together, none of these are going to pan out. And these guys are not going to want to be back here for a short-term deal. They're going to go somewhere else where they can get some more security in some more years. So Bradley does well. Bradley get these guys turned around. They could sign up for a little bit longer, you know, whoever plays the best, you know, pick and choose, but it's another great deal. Another short deal. Again, great job by the Raiders, banking on the, you know, hopefully with the fans being allowed to go to the stadiums, more cash flow for the team, also higher caps moving forward. So it looks like it's a good deal for everyone involved.
So Nicholas Morrow, this will be his fifth season with the Raiders. Again, knows the team. You know, it'll be a new system. So he doesn't know the system, but he started a career high 11 games this season, 78 tackles, 3 sacks, an interception and a forced fumble, and 8 broken up passes.
Wow, that's a lot.
For a guy that came in off the bench.
8 breakups for a linebacker is a lot.
That's a ton. Again, who else? No one. That's why we paid so for Corey Littleton, was to be able to cover linebackers, or a linebacker that can cover tight ends.
I think he was covering linebackers. That's what the problem was.
Right. That's why he was able to break things up.
I got him.
And again, I sound like a broken record, but like, you can't escape your draft pick. He was undrafted out of a D3 school, Nicholas Morrow. And so everyone's like, all right, afterthought. He just kind of fills the bench. Just let him just like
little
his
undersized, contract
keep turning over. Dude's been delivering.
He shows up. He shows up and he makes plays. So eight pass breakups is a lot.
In 11 starts.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So now we get to the very end. Now it gets fun.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go to the big splash. Now we get to the signing where I wasn't like, all right, let me look up the numbers. Let me do the math. What's the production? Okay, I guess that fits in this situation. This was the one where I saw it.
You knew it.
And I threw my phone in the air, almost broke it, and said, yes. Thank God. this is exactly what we needed from the exact type of person we needed at the exact position that was desperately needed. Yannick Ngakoue is now a Raider, defensive end.
Steal.
Like, we needed people who can rush the passer desperately.
That's what he does.
And that's what he does. He's not a perfect player. He's like not great against the run, but dude, he pins his ears back. He's fast. He's small. He moves. He can spin move your ass. Like
he gets home. He doesn't put pressure on the quarterback. He gets home. He gets there. When he gets there, the quarterback's on his back.
He was the best edge rusher available in free agency, and the Raiders got him for 2 years, $26 million. Worth Same as Aguilar.
Aguilar? Is he Mexican now?
Aguilar. So this is fantastic. We need it. You know, it was, and especially with all the new, you know, and when you pay him that much, he's not a situational player. But when it's for sure rundowns, you take him off because we got so many great running defensive ends and defensive tackles great against the run. He's obviously going to be in there every single passing down. Figure he'll play like 60-70% of snaps. Young, experienced, like this was beautiful.
Here's why this was such a great signing. Mm-hmm. Number one, the player. Yep. This guy's like he's a baller. This dude's a player. He goes out there and he performs. Number one. Number two, the money was good.
Yep.
Money was good. Fair. And the years were good. Okay. I wouldn't even call it a fair deal. This is a
good deal. Yeah.
A good deal for the Raiders. He trusts Gus Bradley. And Gus Bradley trusts him.
He played for the Jaguars when Gus was the head coach. Yep.
So the trust is there. You wouldn't go out there and make this signing the first day of free agency, if you didn't have the belief that this guy was your answer. You don't pick this guy, the best pass rusher available in free agency, and you don't sign him right away, and you don't make the push for him right away unless he's your guy. Gus Bradley said, this is my guy. I like it for that reason as well. Gus Bradley is saying, these are the guys that I need. This is what I need to make my defense run properly. This is what I need to make my defense work. That's the guy I need. Go get him.
Yep. So this is awesome. This is great. There's just one thing I have to get off my chest, not to like, you know, piss in our Cheerios, but this will be his fourth team in a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a Raven, he was a Jaguar, Jaguars there for several seasons, went to the Vikings, traded him to the Vikings traded him to the Ravens, and then the Ravens just let him go.
Yeah.
So when we go back and we think like, all right, we want good character guys, we want consistent guys, we want good like dudes that want to be here. When this is his fourth team in a year, that is a red flag. Not one that I think this deal's bad, or I still give this an A+, or not, you know, I still give this a high A. But if this doesn't pan out 2 years from now, we're gonna go back to this conversation and we're gonna be like, yeah. Those are red flags. And we were so excited and overjoyed that we got him for that price that we ignored those red flags. Well, one thing to worry about.
Let's take a look at where he went and the situation.
Okay.
So we'll start with the Jags. The Jags were going nowhere. They felt we need to get something back for this guy that we're not going to be able to re-sign. Either number one, he's going to want too much money and we're not going to be able to afford him. Or number two, he's just not going to want to come back because we're a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Okay. So he leaves from the Jags and he goes to the Vikings, who were in the midst of a playoff push at the time.
Yep.
The Vikings start losing games. They end up 7-9, just out of the playoffs. So once they're out of the playoffs, okay, let's flip them to a team who can give us something back for him, because that's why we got him. He wasn't in our long-term plans. He's a guy that we needed for what, you know, what we got him for. Rush the passer, help us on this playoff push. Playoffs aren't going to happen for us this year. Mm-hmm. Let's just get something back for him, because he's not going to resign. Again, the thinking, he's going to want too much money. The cap's probably going to be lower. He's not going to want to resign. Let's just get something back for him. It happened twice the same year, but for different reasons. Number one, because it's a dumpster fire and it was a fire sale with the Jags. Number two, specifically, the Vikings wanted him for a specific reason for that playoff push. Once the playoff push was done, it was a late season deal to the Ravens. The Ravens have a lot of depth on defense. Could always use a little bit more, but they had a lot of other needs, a lot of other guys who have been there longer, who they like a lot. Wasn't anything against Yannick, but you have to look at the situations he left too. Not just that he left, but why he left. And so if you take a look at it from that perspective, I don't see it as a big deal, especially when Bradley comes out and pounds the table for this kid. There's something he sees in him that maybe a lot of the, maybe some of the other teams didn't see or didn't get the chance to know him like Gus Bradley knows him.
So that's all of the major transactions or non-transactions or transactions somewhere else that that we saw from the Raiders, mostly today, a couple from yesterday, but basically from Wednesday. Quick recap, our defensive line on passing downs, Max Crosby on one end, Yannick Ngakoue as the other end, probably Clay Ferrell moving inside, and then maybe and then any one of those defensive tackles that were just like rolling the dice on who delivers, Jefferson, Thomas, you know, like whoever just happens to be Hankins, like whoever happens to just be delivering, right? That's, I can't believe I'm saying that. That's a good defensive line. That should deep. Be a good defensive line.
It's deep, and we're not going to rely on one guy too much. Max Crosby played entirely too much ball for how hurt he was last year.
Yeah.
He played entirely too many snaps for a healthy defensive end. He just didn't have anyone else out there who they had trust in who could play. They're going to play less snaps and be more productive, because they're going to be fresher later into the games. So I like the moves a lot.
So, you know, our run defense, I think, is going to be on the defensive line. Our run stoppers are going to be really, really good. And potentially our pass rush should finally get up to like maybe average, maybe even better. Like if it gets almost to average, we're doing really well with just adding Yannick, Max Crosby being healthy, 1 year better, Clay Ferrell, 1 year better. Run defense, I think we're great.
Yannick is the kind of pass rusher that you have to identify. And that's what Mayock and Gruden talked about. Is Mayock said it specifically, we don't have that guy where the offenses have to identify where that defensive player is. Mm-hmm. Yannick is that guy on passing downs. So once you have that, that means attention's there. The line shift is going to be to that direction. When nobody knew what Max Crosby could be, he did really well. Mm-hmm. Now that he has someone opposite him who's going to be able to take some of that attention away, yeah, and he's going to be healthy, I see Max Crosby making big, big, big upswings next year.
Linebacking unit, basically the same, right? Corey Littleton, Nick Witowski, and Nicholas Morrow. Didn't play great last season, hoping that the stank of Paul Gunther was the problem. Gus Bradley can get the most out of these guys. That's what we can hope for. DB still need help. We desperately need a good free safety. That should be the next big splash, right? That should be with a big splashy defensive end. Yeah. Big veteran. Again, I don't want to draft another young guy in that backfield.
I don't need it. We need somebody who knows what the hell they're doing.
Veteran, we'll give you $10 million a year, $12 million a year free safety. Yes. We need it. Worth it. So defense
can be that guy.
Defense heading in a great direction. Offensive line. This time yesterday, I thought we would just be like, I thought Derek Carr was going to be just running for his life all next season, but it's coming together. Colton Miller, always improving at left tackle, doing great. And then it's going to be Richie. The guards. Richie probably back at left guard.
Left guard again, yeah.
Andre James, another UCLA Bruin. So there'll be two Bruins on the line. Again, hoping that the coaches are so high on him for a reason.
I'm putting this trust in Tom Cable because he's the guy that needs to be pounding the table for this kid because he's his position coach. If he believes, and he's been around a long time, he's been a head coach, he's been a coordinator, he's been a line coach for a lot of years, for a lot of good offensive lines. If he says that he's the guy and he has the stuff, okay, then I believe it.
Unlike the other coaches on the Raiders, he deserves the benefit of the doubt.
Well, yeah, not Gunther, but
Gunther doesn't. Cable deserves it.
Cable does, yeah.
And then this is the beauty of Denzel Good being Mr. Do Everything. We probably prefer to have him at right guard and either draft or pick up a right tackle. But if there's no good tackles available, but a good guard available, we that new guy can play guard and Good can play right tackle.
Good can play tackle. He's played tackle
if we need to. So he's got that flexibility. So we just, you know, that's our starting line. I mean, if that starting line stays healthy, it's better than the line we had last season, the most expensive line of football that didn't stay healthy.
What about Mitchell Schwartz coming? He's released from the Chiefs.
Coming off of
you never know, man. He's coming off of an injury year. He hasn't seemed to get a lot of attention so far.
Yeah, if you can get him cheap, I'll take him. I'll absolutely take him.
I mean, if it's one of those things again where he wants to prove that he's healthy, and you know, maybe not sign too long of a deal because again, like, the cap's going to go up.
Like everything just all counts on cap, right? Like we need another, we're going to need $5.5 million or so to pay all of our draft picks. And then I want to make sure we have a lot of money left for that free safety that we desperately need.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go, then there's still like a couple holes to fill and then either right guard, right tackle. Skill players, again, tight end room, one of the best in the biz, Foster Moreau and Darren Waller. We know our quarterback's going to be Derek Carr. Maybe a cheaper version of Marcus Mariota as the backup. Otherwise, I'm assuming that $10 million that we're supposed to pay to Mariota is going to be gone. There's no way we're paying him that much to be a backup quarterback.
Can't pay him that much.
And then we talked about our wide receiver core. Brown, Ruggs, Edwards, Renfro in the slot. Zay Jones as the fifth, just kind of ending things up.
Plug and play, yeah.
Plug and play. And then, obviously, Jacobs as our starter. And then we'll probably need one, maybe even two more backup running backs.
Yeah, we need to get a running back. There's going to be a back available, a late cut. There's going to be a guy that we can pick up, a veteran guy. I would like to get us to get, if we can get a big guy, a big bruiser, mm-hmm. that'd be nice. Maybe even like, Keelan Ballage from the Chargers, show that he can do some things, big, big bruising back. Maybe get him for a couple mil. A short deal, and you see if we can develop another running back.
I'm going to lay my head on my pillow tonight and sleep like a baby for the work that the Raiders did today. We've been, you know, we like our whole interview with Connor Orr was talking about how bad Gruden is, but today was a good day for Raider Nation and free agency. Even if it doesn't pan out, we've thought we've had good days before, but this felt like not giant splashes where you're just rolling the dice and hoping for the best, but like plug and play, one or two good moves, only one really bad move. Yeah, but a bunch of depth that, you know, maybe someone develops out of that. And if they don't, not a big waste of money. Like this felt positive, safe, right direction.
This felt very non-Gruden-esque.
Yeah.
This felt very Mayock, heavy, Gus Bradley influenced. And I think right now it's what Gruden needed to do in order for the team to be moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
And he listened to Tom Cable. I'm sure that he has a good relationship with Tom Cable. And who knows, man? He may have just woke up one day and be like, shit, I need to figure this out. And this is year four now. I need to make it happen. Like Connor Orr said, this is a year four. Yeah. What are you going to do? It's put up or shut up time.
This is finally the wake-up call for him.
No more right? 8-8s. That's 8-8, 9-7 is not going to work anymore. You got to make the jump.
Gruden, I think, it felt like Gruden finally let his general manage. He let his defensive coordinator coordinate the defense. Like, he let his staff do their jobs. Because, again, this is as opposite of John Gruden as possible.
Short, no giant signings, deals.
Affordable deals, mostly defense, which it should be a no-brainer because that was the problem with the Raiders last season. But like, you know, Gruden normally spends 2/3 of the cap all offense. He likes his toys. No, you know, the most expensive offensive pickup was was it Brown?
No, who was it?
Who was the most expensive offensive pickup?
Was it Brown?
I think Ivan Brown.
Yeah, that's cheap. That's real cheap.
Oh, Denzel Good. I'm sorry. Resigning Denzel Good.
Denzel Good.
But still, great deal. $3.19 million guaranteed for Good. Like,
not look.
That value on the line without overpaying, no crazy flashy like Antonio Brown, like red flag pickups on offense. Mm-hmm. One big splash on defense, which was desperately needed, and we got a great deal for it. Now
I don't mind overpaying a tad for that safety that we need. for that stud safety because we did get so many good short-term deals. Mm-hmm. For right now, I think we're doing good. It sounds a lot like Gruden sat down with Tom Cable and Mayock, and it's like, all right, Tommy, what's going on here? We're paying these guys a lot of money.
Yeah.
What else do we got around here? Who can we bring back who's just as good? Like, who can we bring back? And, I mean.
You know who else I think that he listened to was Rod Marinelli. With all these like defensive deals, 1 year deals, these like defensive tackles and stuff. It's like, hey, give me 3-4 dudes that are cheap and I'll find you a winner between those 3-4 of them. I will get you somebody delivered.
Look, you get these types of coaching staffs who have experience being, even if they were washouts as head coaches, they have the experience of being a head coach. They know what goes into being a head coach. They've been coordinators before. You have what, 4 coordinators on the staff now. People who, like, John Gruden is basically the coordinator. This is what you need for a team to be taught and to be developed and for a team to gel is you need guys who know what it takes from the upper division of leadership standpoint to make a team work. Yeah. They have that now. They have that in Bradley and Marinelli on one side, Cable, Gruden on the other side. It looks like it's going in the right direction, and it's a lot more affordable, which you would never hear in the past from a Raider team. But now it looks like they're paying the money where it needs to go. And like we talked about, and like what Marcus Mosier said, he said studs and duds. And I love that. I love that saying. I love that phrase, studs and duds. That's what we need. Get these studs and get these 1 year guys. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to see what we can do in the secondary.
All right, well, before we get out of here, let's do a couple what up win bags. You found a couple questions for us on if you want to want your question answered in the what up win bags, you can hit us up on social media, or you can just go to our YouTube page, leave a comment. We scour those comments for the best questions to put on the autumn win bags. What do you got for us, Soto?
All right, we have Michael NorCal Raider who asks us, I stumbled across you guys with your show with Carl Cochran.
The man.
The man, how is it that you do not have more views and subscribers? I love it.
It feels like a hot chick. It feels like a stripper saying, like, how do you not have a girlfriend? What are you doing here?
You know what it sounds
feels
like?
Good. It's, you know, it's like, a compliment.
It's like the hot chick's like, oh, if I had I want a boyfriend that's like you. Oh my God, you're so nice. And you're like, well, I'm single. I'm like, oh, you're so funny. Well, hopefully Michael NorCal Raider likes and subscribes. So Michael NorCal Raider, thank you, man. Appreciate it. Why don't we have more? I think a couple.
We're just getting started. Still figuring this out. I literally learned how to video edit and sound edit to do this show. Like I've been a radio host for 12 years, but I always had staff, and now it's like, all right, we're doing it on our own. So we're getting better every show, learning something new every show, getting more subscribers and listeners every single show.
I have no experience whatsoever in this. I just talk a lot of shit.
Nobody knew.
I just seamlessly going in there. My first, I listened to the first show again. Oh, it was terrible. I said like 4 words. It was so bad.
The audio was so bad.
Oh God, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I was like so low. Oh my God. But yeah, it's
not the angelic voice you hear now.
Very yeah, cool. Right. I'm seasoned now. Mm-hmm. I think that once people start like he did. He's a Carl. He follows Carl Cochran on Raider Films. And, Carl's going to be on this podcast. Let me check out what he has to say. Because it's not Carl in his natural habitat. It's Carl a little bit more unplugged. You get to kind of get a little bit deeper into how he thinks and a little bit more of his personality, which is great. We loved having him. And I think the more we get more guests and stuff like that, we're going to get a little bit more of a residual from other people. I mean, a little more spreads.
Yeah. Let's do one more What Up Windbags.
All right. Chris Burrell commented, can't lead us to the playoffs, though. Probably needs to change his style. Nice guys finish last. That's kind of the problem with Derek. Your boy, Derek Carr.
All right. Obviously, you want me to do this one.
Well, First off, we can both do it.
Can't lead us to the playoffs. All right. He led a playoff offense, but the defense was terrible. You could say that till we're blue in the face. No one's going to get it. Again, it's just a very simple Raiders take. Oh, the Raiders don't go to the playoffs? Let's blame the quarterback. It's just like binary simpleton thinking, and that's simply not the case. And it really isn't. I do like how he brought up nice guys finish last, because Derek Carr is about as nice as they come. Like,
true.
Not nice, like pushover. Like, you see him get fired up on the field, but nice where, like, his colleagues, teammates, people in not his a industry. Bad word. You'll never hear a bad thing about Derek Carr, the human, ever. Never, ever, ever. Like, we, you know, you can nitpick, like, oh, I don't think he'll take it. I don't know, like, he can win a Super Bowl, or he fumbles too much. Like, you can, you know, there's certainly room for criticism for part of his game, but Derek Carr, the human, like, you can tell a piece of shit who makes fun of Derek Carr, the human. Like, you are desperately looking for something to bash.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, Derek Carr, that's an asshole. Oh, yeah. That's a guy I wouldn't want dating my sister.
Here's the thing. I see a video clip of Derek Carr, and at the time he had two sons, and they're playing basketball in a little, you know, Fisher Price basketball net. Mm-hmm. And the older son knocked down the younger one. And what does he tell the younger son? He says, hey, are you going to cry, or are you going to get up and take the ball away from your brother? Mm-hmm. Derek Carr is a competitor. Don't get it flipped around. Derek Carr is a competitor. Now, can he be a little bit more of a risk taker now that he has some more weapons? Maybe. Maybe that's going to be the case. He's going to go down the field a little bit more. Maybe he won't have to if the defense is better. But don't think that he's Mr. Nice Guy on the field. Derek Carr is a competitor on the field. You don't play through some of the things that he's played through and not be a competitor.
All right. Well, I guess that's all that's left is Rodney. We're going to miss you. Aguilar. Enjoy your cash, because you're not going to win.
God, we're not going to make any more Rodney Thick Dick jokes. That sucks.
Maybe we will, just because it's still him. You know, if we don't play the Cardinals next season, but maybe later we will. John Brown, welcome. Enjoy the touchdowns. Welcome, you're going to get a lot of them. Richie, we knew you weren't fucking going anywhere.
I said it a month ago. Bring him back on a small deal, prove it deal, see if he's healthy. Have him go out on his
trip. Even you couldn't have imagined a deal this good.
I said three. I'm hopeful for three. 2-6 on the high end is yeah. I wasn't.
And Yannick Ngakoue.
Welcome, baby. Welcome, Yannick.
Welcome. If I had red carpet, I would roll it out for you. Welcome to the Raiders. We need you. We already love you. Everyone's going to know how to spell Ngakoue in Raider Nation, which I didn't think would be the case. All right, that's it. A lot more free agency is going to happen between now and the next show. We might do some YouTube shows in between if there's some big splashes. Make sure you check that out. But until then, it's a great day to knock on wood if you're with me. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Autumn Windbags. Thank you to Connor Orr for joining us as well. Remember, you can go ahead and be a part of What Up Windbags. If you send us a message, leave a comment on our YouTube, just go ahead and subscribe, comment, like, and all that good stuff to let us know you're around and that you love us. We need it. Till next time. Later.